Yeah, microphone picked up on that B-beam part very well, Nick.
Right, any music that time?
No.
All right, okay. Well, we'll forget the music. I'll try and patch it in later on. So, as you can tell, it's been a while since we did this. So, we are back after a fairly long break for reasons we probably won't go into here, but we might do later on. Probably, actually, we're probably a bit ready for a break. I think we're getting a bit stale. Yeah. So, we return to the series two, shall we call it, episode 43. So the Malt Travel podcast is back. I know already Mappy Man is very happy with that one. He says that there needs to be more podcasts with men who take their own beer mats to pubs. So we've got one, at least one listener who'll be following us.
Oh, yes.
So we are back. So tonight's going to be a little bit of a kind of catch-up, really. We are cheating slightly in that we have already caught up. I think I've been last week over Easter. I've had a catch-up with both Bruce and Nick in person. So
we enjoyed a miserable 90 minutes. we did. LNA Community Stadium watching York City.
So we'll reflect on that. Obviously, it's been around about, I don't know, 5-6 months since we kind of did episode 42. So we'll probably need to come back and catch up a little bit more about stuff that we've done. There's quite a lot of beer news. Again, we won't cover all that this evening. But we'll make a start anyway and see where we get up to. So beery highlights.
An article today on the BBC website about podcasts, and it said a quarter of all podcasts don't go beyond 10 episodes. They think we're doing podcaster.
We're doing quite well then, 43 after a bit of a break. So it's what we need.
Listening, man, but yeah, still.
So we've still been sharing kind of picks and things. I haven't been out drinking very much, but these two have been kind of keeping things going, and they've been sending us sending me pictures every now and then. So Nick, you sent this picture. This is in Omni, which is a fairly new establishment in Malton. What was the new Malton and now moved slightly down the square. So and you mentioned which you can see here, those on YouTube, they had a very fine selection this week. Normally have at least 4 beers on, don't they?
Yeah, and once again in there you can have 3/3, so you can try them. Gemma's now expanded a range up to 4 hand pumps, so it's always pretty well kept. Gemma knows what she's doing as far as the beer's concerned. It's quite a relaxed place. It's one of the busiest places in town now. They do their Yorkshire food tapas. It's a bit of a cocktail bar as well, downstairs and upstairs. I normally sit outside if the weather's anywhere decent, so they've got 3 or 4 tables outside. And yeah, on a Friday and Saturday night, you know, there's a nice vibe to it. It's very much steady away. It's not a traditional sort of pub, but they allow dogs in there as well. So if everybody's got a doggy visit in Malton, then it's a good place to head to. And I say they've always got some good real ales on in there.
So we are going to do episode of Malton. I think we were planning that anyway, and I think that's probably the next couple of episodes we must do, because we did say, despite getting to 40-odd episodes, we haven't really talked about the town that gave it its name, so we will be doing that. Nick, you've also been out and about, so you've getting a couple of images on here. You did your own very own Real Ale Festival in Wetherspoons and tried to drink your way through that. And I think you were at Phoenix in one of those with a very nice pot pie. And then a new venue for you again is the... what was the Stew and Oyster in Malton, which is now called, what's it called now? Something on the corner?
It's called the Pizza in the Square, which is weird. Because, right. I mean, obviously, Stew and Oyster were bought out by Ossett Brewery. Ossett Brewery sort of ran it for a short while, still under the Stew and Oyster name. They then said, right, we're closing, we're going to refurbish, put in a pizza oven and do stone-baked pizzas, a bit like the Hop in York. The building itself, they haven't really done much to it. But the resurgence in terms of people going in there, it's like one of the busiest places in town now. And you'd think, well, hang on, the beer range hasn't really changed and what they were offering hasn't changed, but it's just a new kid on the block. And folks seem to be going in there. They're doing live music now as well, which can be a good thing, can be a bad thing, Mike, from our experience on Easter Sunday night.
Yeah.
It was far too loud. In a building like that, you know, if the singer's any good, really, they should be able to sing acoustically. And I'm afraid the young lady who was singing had a lot of amplification going on. And even upstairs, we couldn't hold a conversation with each other. So unfortunately, we had one beer and moved on. But as I say, it is quite remarkable that, you know, I used to go there on a Friday or a Saturday night just for a couple of quiet beers. And it seems to have completely transformed itself. And yet nothing's really changed in there, except they've got one extra hand pump on now. So they are doing the Ossett beers. They normally have now, they have the White Rat on, they have the Blonde, and then they alternate between the, what is it, Bruce, Silver Knight, the one that you like?
The Silver King.
Silver King. They had a Rasputin stout on the other week, which was about 7%. And then obviously they've got their craft beers. They've got about 4 or 5 salt electric craft beers on as well. So certainly a good range of beer. Prices have been tweaked up a little bit more as well now. Meaning from when we went on Easter Sunday, Mike, I think we were paying $4.20 and $4.30. Yeah. But they've now got up to $4.30, $4.40 a pint. So they are one of the dearer places in town. Yeah, I suppose they're paying for the refurbishment. And maybe they're trying to, be a bit more selective with the clientele as well. But it's nice once again. They've got plenty of seating outside, sort of within the Market Square area there. And once all the traffic's died off, it's quite nice sitting out there outside if the weather's okay. So, yeah, you know, I'd rather it be there than not, put it that way, because it is another good outlet for real ale in Moulton.
Yeah, and if you visit Moulton, it'd be a good place to stop and have a drink, wouldn't it? It's like you say, it's pretty central. You can't miss it. And it's nice to watch the world go by, if nothing else. Well, this is kind of what's kept me going over the last 4 or 5 months. This has been my new local. So the Jubilee Working Men's Club, just down the road from me, which is where with the band that I joined, they go for drink here after practice, and they do a nice pint of, well, it's on keg, but it's Titanic Stout, which is very nice, and 360 a pint. So that's been my one pint a week for the last few weeks. So that's been mine. Bruce, you've been up to your normal haunts, Crystal Palace and the Fox, I guess.
Yeah. Where have we been since we stopped? We did have quite a pleasant day out in West Yorkshire before Christmas. I went twice, went with Nick. We did the Skipton, Saltaire, Keighley run. And then I went back again a week later and included Haworth. We did go to Taylor's on the Green, didn't we, Nick?
The new one.
The past podcast, but that means that's the Taylor's new flagship pub.
Yeah.
Which was formerly called, the Lord Rodney in the centre of Keighley. I mean, poor old Keighley itself is looking, as we said, a little down at heel. The department store's now a big job centre and an awful lot of boarded up empty shops, isn't there, Nick? But that was quite lovely, the Lord Rodney, the centre. I mean, they've been.
But it just makes you wonder, though, Bruce, what sort of clientele they're going to get in the centre of Keighley, because I can't really see it's a place that you go up for a night now in Keighley. I would think most people want to be.
I mean, you've got to be a boat maker's arms, also have a loyal following, and there's those.
Yeah, but they're the locals, they're the regulars. The way that they've redone the Lord Rodney, it's one of these places that it's a bit more swanky, it's a bit more of an evening venue. And yet, you know, it's a big place to fill in it, really.
It was, but the second time when the food was really good, really keenly priced. Beers were pretty good, although sadly they had turned the noise off on the Hoppical Storm pump. Taylor's brewing a keg beer now called
They're just putting that in cans, aren't they? It's going to be their first ever canned beer, would you believe? Which is, again, it's remarkable for, it's not remarkable. I mean, I think I was a podcast about 2 years ago that I'd actually come across it in London, Euston Tap, when it first came out. But I know it's been in the press that it's Taylor's first ever canned beer. They obviously have a market there. So I think we'll come back and maybe talk about your little trips out to Keighley, because, again, we haven't really covered them.
Night out we've had though since we had spent night in Altrincham prior to flying from Manchester Airport, and because the Premier Inns are in that airport hinterland there, we didn't fancy that, so we had a night in Altrincham, not really knowing what to expect, and crikey, that was amazing. What revelation that was. What a cracking night out. What a pub culture they've got there. I mean, I suppose it's on the edge of that. So a place like Hale, there's a lot of money there now, but still a solid market town. But what a drinking scene they've got there.
Yeah, the market's a bit of a thing there, isn't it? The market was kind of kicked that all off. So it's a bit like, well, I mean, they're all over now, isn't it? But they were the first place at the old market, indoor market. It changed into kind of a drinking street food venue. So I know I've been in there. There's a couple of bars, there's street food and then spread into the outside market as well. So it's worth the place. Like you say, no, there's lots of good places there as well.
It was packed and incredibly well kept and tidy and warm, and somebody put a glass on it, it's taken away. But you know, the award-winning pie and mash, which was $12.50, I'd say, was bitterly disappointing. I sort of said really making that. But no, they've got a fantastic Irish bar there. That I think probably the best part. I've yet to go to Mulligan's or the Old Shillelagh. Going to try and get to Mulligan's very soon. We can meet up there. There's another ale offer on now. But the Guinness was astonishing. They have a Belgian bar as well. There's two Sam Smith pubs. Altrincham's a fantastic night out.
So talk Bruce, a drink, Nick.
Hang on, Bruce. You forgot to mention that for a bloke away to Wetherspoons, you've been in dozens and dozens of Wetherspoons.
I'm going to come back in a minute.
You've ticked off more Wetherspoons than I've ticked off. for a bloke away to Wetherspoons.
I do have to say Nick's right, because I'm now one of the people. There's now a band, a collective term for people that like Wetherspoons. They're Neverspoons. I'm a Neverspoons person. But I have to say, I was in Bolsover a week last Saturday. Found myself in Bolsover by the castle there. They've got a new build Wetherspoons. I didn't need the loo, so we all stopped for a drink. And I have to say, it was absolutely astonishing, the Wetherspoons. The entire place was gleaming. There was a dirty plate, an empty glass, even the coffee machine, whenever some respect was tidied up. It was coming to the end of the beer festival, but it was by far and away the best part around the Wetherspoons. You could see at the moment of the party, it was the Swiss Red from Southwold they had on. And it was a fantastically well-kept pipe. But the whole place was a credit to the people who ran it. He should send his people there, because, I mean, Nick and myself and Jackie and mum and dad and my wife went to kids went to Burns night, and the one at the Ark in Piccadilly. And I have to say, it was absolutely disgusting, wasn't it, Nick? It was
It was student night. It was student bill, wasn't it?
It was horrible. You didn't like staying there. You want to come home and have a shower. But I said, the people in Bolsover, yes, congratulations. Anyway, the cleanest. So
we might come back to Wetherspoons a few times tonight, so that's good, because I was thinking about tweeting about either Wetherspoons or Sam Smith. I think at the moment it's going to be a Sam Smith 3, although we've mentioned Crystal Palace, but Spoons we might come back to. And I'd certainly have been making really good use of this £2 bus fare anyway. Fantastic news, and I know you two have been using it as well. It's great. I used it yesterday to get to Stone, and I had a little meander around Stone, and again was able to jump on the bus. Done it a couple of times, actually, being up to Limestone Brewery for £2. It's cracking.
We're just drinkers.
Buses, the Dales buses on the deal. We have the Dales buses and Mower buses. Yeah. The equivalent things, I'm guessing, are on the country, like peak buses and things.
Every bus is £2, yeah.
I mean, that's the matter. We could go from the end of my road to Grassetton for £2.
I think time I went on the bus to Stone, it cost them like £7.
Yeah.
Whereas yesterday it cost me £4, so to get there and back. So, you know, it's well worth using.
Definitely.
And Bruce, although you've had some beery highlights, you might need to tell us a little bit about, I don't know what beer you had in the Karen's Diner, but I know you frequented your good lady's birthday, your surprise visit to Sheffield's Karen's Diner. So I don't want to go off topic on the podcast, but we might come back to that in a minute. Did you actually drink any beer in there?
I think I had a bottle of Estrella.
Yes. All right, okay. And we might come back onto Estrella as well in a minute, because that's another thing in the news, isn't it? So there's loads of beer news. In fact, I was just looking tonight, and I think we're going to come back to, I mean, Guinness. There's loads of stuff about Guinness at the moment. Guinness apparently were one of the most successful brands of lockdown, that everybody was desperately missing a pint of Guinness. So I think Guinness have said that there's, I think, is it every one in every 10 pints in London is a pint of Guinness now? Wow. And so much so that they're actually building a new brewery near Covent Garden. They closed the old brewery down about 15-20 years ago, and they're building a bloody brand new one. I don't know if you've come across Nitro Surge yet. I'm not sure I want to spend whatever it is to buy that thing to put on your beer, especially when it runs out.
Isn't it? It's only £15, so it's not bad, is it?
Yeah, but it runs out, doesn't it? You have to go and buy another one after so many. And you have to buy the correct cans as well. You can't just use it in any can of Guinness.
The predecessors were that, what's been around for quite a few years for any bar that didn't want to get a full barrel of Guinness in, was a little surger kit.
It was
like a little ultrasonic disc, put a little drop of water on it, and then pour the Guinness into your glass put the glass onto the surger.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it sort of ultrasonically trembled and released the nitrogen bubbles into it. So this thing about introducing nitrogen into the drink isn't brand new, but there's this little widget thing that instead of being in the can, you stick it on the top of the can and then just pour it through there.
Yeah, weird. So I've not actually seen any for sale yet, but a bit like Zero Guinness, you couldn't find that for ages, so we'll see. I noticed that Budvar and Thornbridge are joining together. This the first ever collaboration from Budvar, and they're going to produce a lager between them, which will be interesting. I noticed that Tesco's are opening a pub for the coronation, and they're going to take over their first pub. I think they're only taking it over for a while. The King in the Castle, which is somewhere in Farringdon. I think I've probably been in that, actually. And then what was the other one I picked up today? Oh, Manchester Pubs. There's a new book camera about to put a new book about Manchester Pubs by Matthew Curtis, which we may come back to. So there's loads of news. The bit I did want to just quickly share with you, though, because we've mentioned these three. Again, just I'm on the Heritage Pub list, and they popped up their latest newsletter popped up. And again, some good news, really. We've mentioned a couple of pubs in Hull when we did our Hull and East Riding. The Old White Hart, which is kind of tucked away just on the edge of the kind of the old kind of docks area. I think that again, somebody knew had taken it over, but whoever has taken it over, they've had to put back in. They took out one of the old bars and bar back and ripped it all out, and now they're going to put it back in again now. So that'll cost them some money, but that's a quirky pub. And then you two did mention the Polar Bear, which you can either have been to, but you managed to get in there, you pair, which is very similar to the Black Horse in Preston, isn't it? It's kind of one of those pubs with that huge, great circular bar.
So there's two. There's the Polar Bear and the White Hart. And they are obviously both got the big ceramic bars. Now, the White Hart, I think it is, that's open most of the time. The Polar Bear is only actually still open about 2 or 3 days a week because it's a music venue.
Yeah.
If I'm getting the right order. So I've been in the White Hart. I mean, they're not miles apart, actually. And I say it's unique that I think there's only about 13 pubs in the country that have got these curved ceramic bars, of which obviously the Black Horse in Preston is one. But yeah, you've got two in Hull. But as I say, it's a bit more difficult to get in the Polar Bear because it's only open sort of a couple of days a week as a music venue. It always had been known for its music. So as I say, you've got a better chance of getting in the, I'm sure it's called the White Hart.
So yeah, they're basically saying that this conversion to the music venue is actually undermining its status, its national inventory, heritage pub status. So there's a bit of a kickback there. And then the other one was the Station Buffet, which again we've talked about in that episode. Nick, we ventured there. In fact, I'd found a picture of you entering into it, but I don't know what I've done with that. And we did mention, I think previously we kind of had our break, that Brass Castle from Alton are certainly planning to take it over.
I don't know how much
it's moved on, but that's great news, because unfortunately the landlady who left there, who ended last summer, couldn't find anybody to take it on. There's a bit of work need doing, and it was fearful that it was just gonna go to rack and ruin. So thankfully it's a fantastic kind of Victorian buffet bar in the likes of, you know, Dewsbury, etc. A little bit of charm. It was a little bit cold and don't know when we were there, Nick. You kind of felt it was on its last legs a little bit.
And the beer wasn't great at all.
Yeah, but obviously Brass Castle get old a bit then. That's the plan. So that's something we might keep our eyes on and we'll go through. Mm. And then again, I mentioned, we mentioned kind of continental lagers. Again, interestingly, that Heineken now are about to hit us all with Cruz Campo, which again is actually a beer I've quite enjoyed when I've been over in Spain and Portugal and places. But a bit, obviously they've looked at Madry, and they're going to, you know, kid us all that this is the taste of Sevilla brought to you from Wolverhampton, or it'll be Tadcaster, won't it? They'll be brewing Tadcaster. So look out for that, because I think obviously Madry has just been mad, hasn't it? I think I was trying to find it. I think Madry's fastest growing brand in the UK apparently.
Yeah, and genius, gone mad for genius it. Piece of marketing that, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. This idea that you're getting the soul of Madrid, and then the small print says it's brewed in the UK. So yeah, there isn't a Madry beer in Spain. It's just completely made up. The bloke's made up. You know, everything is just, you know, beardy, crafty lager. But anyway, people are drinking it. And I've got to say, I know pubs have had some really good deals. I know there's been some really, you know, almost it was too good not to take it. And plus you get I'll show you a pub in a minute, you get all the branding, marketing stuff,
umbrellas,
all the materials,
tables,
branding, outdoor, So you can't blame pubs for doing it.
We got bombarded with offers on Facebook from Green King. I had endless free pints of Madry. I was getting a deal every day. Mm. So we were going to go Star Inn, and what it must have cost to launch it, but obviously it's so successful. I mean, it does work. Yeah. I mean, people at work, because I'm interested in beer, try that Madry. They really believe it's had the imported Spanish beer. It's quite astonishing.
Yeah. So we see what Cruz Campo, what that looks like and it goes through. So come on, Bruce, you've already told us a little insight here, and I've probably got the wrong Wetherspoons there. I'm not sure. Did you go to the Wetherspoons in Chesterfield as well?
No, it didn't actually.
Right. That looks quite nice as well. The Portland Hotel is a Chester.
Bruce hates Wetherspoons. No, he doesn't go to these places.
No, that's at the front of the marketplace. I mean, Chesterfield's one of these that's got two Wetherspoons bookending the marketplace. And I believe they had a third. I think I could be wrong, but I think one of them's on the closure list. That Portland Hotel is colossal, but didn't go in it. Sadly, yeah, the picture that always does down of those people on YouTube. Callum Island, it was the first sunny Saturday afternoon of the year, and Callum Island was absolutely buzzing. So to the extent, obviously, it's quite a small pub, full of like corner rooms, into every room's a corner room, as it were. So
I'm trying to work out where that is. Is that the end of the road where you are there, Bruce? Because the old pub garden was kind of to the left, wasn't it?
Yeah, the pub garden's to the left. This is in front of the pub, yeah. So they put loads of deck chairs out.
Ah, right, yeah.
Everybody. Interesting enough, though, the Callum Island Pale Rider was still available. I said, I thought you stopped brewing it. The girl didn't know a lot, and she was dead busy. There was no Callum Island Bitter available, but they did have Pale Rider on. Now I thought that had been finished. But the
I think somebody, I think somebody's doing it.
The license.
I think somebody's doing it for them. Yeah, I think somebody's brewing it. There was some deal done to keep it going. I don't know they're brewing it, yeah.
And so they went to Callum Island Tavern was amazing because in the big back room, there must have been 150 folk musicians. I'll make a big session, and it was amazing to see it. I mean, it was packed inside. Some people had to come out with their instruments, to let others allowed to join. It was Sheffield Folk Weekend. And again, it was absolutely every pub had music and in abundance, huge amounts of music from pub to pub. We did go to Fagan's as well, away from Callum Island. Had a great pack in there. I went to the Shakespeare, which was the first time I've actually been in there. That was rather splendid, although there was a couple of students who were on about the fourth pint of an incredibly vomit-looking sour Sasson beer when we went, and by the time gone, one of them ran very quickly to the lavatory. So,
Bruce did send me some photos, but unfortunately he's got something on his WhatsApp that it deletes them all after a week. Yeah. So in fact, you'd got the picture where me and Nick actually were sat in that very place, in that front bar by that lovely ward's window. When we were there, we were there in August, weren't we, Nick? We'd had a few beers by the time we got into Shakey's, but it was, again, it was on good form, wasn't it? Like you say, a mix of students and baby types,
it's almost like it's a little village down there in Callum Island now. Obviously, a lot of the old warehouses have been turned into hipster apartments, and it really has got its own vibe down there. And really, if you're going to Sheffield, you could spend a day and a night just in Callum Island area, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Say compared to what it was like when I was a student there, and I remember taking these two big Danish lads who were like massive great Vikings. And they were, Nick, where are you taking us? Is it safe down here? That's when the Fat Cat was the only place down there. And obviously Fat Cat was a little bit off the beaten track. And we went down there midweek, one night, walking down all those deserted warehouses. And it was a bit sinister, a bit spooky. So you walk down there now and say you've got hipsters down there and people sat on balconies. And it is a bit different.
So, I think that was about episode 40 that we covered Sheffield, 41, 40. So, again, if you want to listen back to that. And obviously, is it this weekend that Camera have got their AGM there? Again, I think if we were otherwise sorted, it'd been good. I mean, it really is a little bit of a kind of a beer destination. I mean, you got from, as soon as you get off the train with the Sheffield tap. Yeah. And like you say, we're both a city centre and out in Callum. And I mean, me and Nick, we ventured a bit further out, didn't we? We managed to get some quite interesting bars, pubs. Mm. Kind of outwards, went to the Abbeydale. They have a pub, the Sun Inn, which is kind of up one of the routes south of Sheffield. Well worth a repeat. And again, just came across this week. If you do want, this is really good. The Camera do the heritage pubs. All the Sheffield ones free at the moment. You can download the PDF version of it for free. If you go on Camera's website, look for heritage pubs, or just Google Sheffield heritage pubs, and actually the little book that Dave Pickersall's done is actually free at the moment, so you can just download it.
Do you remember, mate? I bought a copy of that from the guy
from the Chef Opcast,
in the Newcastle Market. Was supposed to be a present. Yeah. I've still got it here for you.
Right. Well, I've got a PDF version for free.
Oh, it's well thumbed, yeah.
Yeah, and again, the Chef Opcast, they've had a bit of a break. They're back online as well. So again, if you do want to hear about what's going on in Sheffield, I recommend that podcast. It's a really good podcast as well. And Sean runs the bar in the Moor Market as well. As Bruce mentioned, we had a quick, Bruce and my son and him, we had a quick meet-up, a quick dash a couple of Saturdays ago. We used our £2 bus to get to York, although we took a very long time because there was some problems on the A64 and then a very horrendous hell shower. So we only managed a two quick drinks. So we went into the Hop, which I think, as we said before, is one of our kind of fave York pubs, certainly me and Nick. And we had a couple of pre-match beers in there. And again, it was actually full of football guys in there, wasn't it, Bruce? Mainly our families, because it was kind of Easter as well. And again, you forget what a stunning building it is. And I've got a couple of photos, but I chose this one because obviously the building's quite old, but it was a pizzeria. Yeah. And it's quite, it's got a fantastic bar and a fantastic tile floor. When it gets busy,
it was originally a butcher's with its own.
The butcher's, yeah. Yeah, so now and they still specialise in pizza. And again, just I kind of really enjoyed. I stepped up slightly and went on the Excelsior, which I've not really had before, and it's a slightly stronger pale ale. But that was really, really nice. I think you stuck on the blonde, didn't you, Bruce? I think in there.
Yeah.
And then we went across the road, and we said we'd try the Bluebell because it was fairly quiet. One thing they have done is they've got rid of the seating outside, which apparently is the council have put their foot down because. Yeah. Again, it was quite nice to be able to sit outside the Bell and the social and the Hop across the road there. And I got to say, Bruce, we're a bit disappointed, weren't we, in here? We couldn't get a seat because there were lots of kind of beady blokes sat at a table on their own and kind of spreading out. So we ended up in the corridor. We had an interesting chat with the guy who was in there.
Yeah.
But again, we should have gone, I think, for we both umanad about having their Brass Castle do a well. I'm trying to find Nick. Because when we were in Moulton the night before, we popped up the blue ball, but unfortunately we couldn't get in because it just closed. And on the bar, they had a Brass Castle Blue Ball IPA. And obviously in York, there is a Brass Castle Blue Bell IPA. And we should have had that. And what did we have in the Embryo? Come on, I can't remember what we had.
Bradfield Farmers Blonde, it was disappointing.
Bradfield Farmers Blonde, which is normally a really good beer, but it was just flat and insipid, wasn't it? So.
I think I was in there last Saturday and I did a pint of Old Top, which was vastly improved, but the Farmer's Blonde was a very, 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 very
poor. Yeah, yeah. And we ignored the sign on the door saying no stag doos or football fans, which you can clearly see in this picture here. But yeah, a little bit disappointing. And then I say, Bruce, as Bruce already mentioned, we then sat through 90 minutes of fairly turgid football. And unfortunately, our local Yorkshire team, Halifax, were able to give us a bragging rights, banged in three goals against a very insipid York City. And not great. And yeah, I think the beer was even worse in the stadium than I can remember before. I think at least, and because you have to drink it in the, it's bonkers. You know, you go and watch rugby league at York and you can drink wherever you want to. In fact, they do those oversized, those double pints. So you can get two pints at a time in one glass. And it was horrible cold. I think John Smith's was still on offer. I can't remember what the lager was, but it wasn't great. So yeah, we had a quick zip run there. And then I say, up in Moulton, so Nick, me and you had a meander on, was it Easter Sunday that we had?
Easter Sunday, yeah. Around? Yeah.
So there wasn't a great deal of stuff open because obviously they'd been open the day and quite a few pubs were shutting quite early and Nick, you'd been working. So we managed to get into Cross Keys, which is always, again, another really good pub that you can pretty much guarantee will be open and serving decent beer. As always, Nick, we stuck on the Thornbridge. Abbeydale, sorry. Deception. But they have it as a permanent there, don't they?
Yeah, and they also have Tim and Taylor's landlord. They've got one of those plaques now to say, I think Taylor's have been around quite a few pubs. There's a pub of distinction, what they call it. So they normally have landlord and Abbeydale on permanently. £4 a pint we were paying in there, so not a bad price.
But it's not a bad pint. And we got our favourite table, which if you're looking on the YouTube, on the left of the door there, there's a lovely little side room there. The bar's on the other side. And there's a lovely round table in that window there where you can sit and watch kind of Moulton go by, which is really nice. We then nipped across to the Pizza on the Square, which is the lovely building you see in the picture on the right. Those that are watching YouTube, this was the old Butter Market. It's where Moulton Museum used to be. And like Nick said, it's bang in the middle of the bang in the middle of the town square. So a good place to watch the world go by. And then we were getting a bit stuck then because there wasn't much else open. So we made a little bit of a homage back to one of our very early haunts. So probably the first place we were all drinking when we were 17, which is the New Globe, which again is amazing. It's still ticking over. It's still there. It's still, still doing what it does.
It's very, very much the locals. Well, one of the locals pubs in town, but it's always friendly enough. So even people from outside, if you come across the Globe, you pop in there and you can have a beer. They had Wainwright on, didn't they, Mike? In fact, you went for a pint against, didn't you?
Well, when I first walked in there, the first one I saw was Doom Bar, which always kind of depressed me because this pub's always had a strong with Cameron's. It's always, I think it was probably Cameron's House for a while, but they've always normally had a Cameron's beard one, the Nothing Stronger, yeah. which again we quite like. But yeah, this evening they had Wainwright on and they had Doomba. So in the end, I went for a pint of Guinness because I'm kind of macro bitters have gone past me a little bit.
For those 2 pints, it was £8.20. So I didn't think that was too bad.
Yeah. And the Guinness was in very good form, actually. We sat on the little room that didn't exist when we were lads. So this is the new room on the right side there. And there's my pint of Guinness there. It was pretty quiet on a Sunday evening.
Easter Sunday night.
You're across from Brass Castle's tap, which unfortunately shut at 8. So we just missed that. And again, Bruce, you know, it's sad news, but this is the back room where we began our drinking heritage.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit of a kind of a thing now. So it used to be a nice little cozy snug, didn't it, at the back?
Yeah, lovely.
Barry, the landlord, he would let us in the back there, knowing that some of us were 18. And he used to look, go in the back. I'm happy you go and sit in the back. And don't, you know, you're not stupid, which we weren't. That was our first drinking. So unfortunately, now it's a pool table and one-arm bandit.
I had my 18th birthday party in that.
You did indeed. And you made everybody drink bottles of Guinness. I bought Newcastle Brown only, which didn't go down particularly well. And then I took Nick right out of his comfort zone. I quite like it, the Derwent Arms. But the Derwent Arms is back in Norton, so back over the river. It's a massive pub, the Derwent Arms. And again, it's one that ticks over. It's always pretty full. They do have a hand pump on there. I think actually this...
Every time I walk past Mike, there's never any pump clips on there. So they've got the hand pumps in the bar. But I've never seen in 6 months to a year. I've never seen. I mean, it's a Marston's pub.
Yeah, me and you had landlord in there. I think last summer, me and you actually had to find landlord. Anyway, we had Guinness and it was good. But again, you forget what a massive pub it is. So that was our little meander around Malton, which was very nice. And then as mentioned, I had a little trip to Stone yesterday. So me and Nick did Stone. I don't know what episode that was in. I know we've talked about Jules's Brewery, and in fact, I'm going to probably do a bit more Stones. I've been reading a bit more about Stones Brewing. They built this fantastic flagship new pub in Stone, the Crown Wharf, and again, made a big play that it's got a theatre bit. You know, they built a theatre as part of it as well, and community groups. They're getting a lot of stick at the moment because it is, and I've got to say, to be honest with you, I've stopped going in because it's big, it's noisy. It's a bit of a destination, so a lot of people do come just to go to this place, and it's causing a few problems because everybody thought Jules's pubs are normally very refined and very quiet, and obviously this is quite a big drinking venue, and beer's quite cheap, and you know they do good deals, and so unfortunately, it's caused a bit of nuisance in Stone, and there's some local opposition saying that this is not what the planning consent said. It said it was going to be a family traditional pub, and actually it's not now. It's on a weekend. It's a bit of a raucous. I mean, there's not much else in Stone in terms of nightclubs or anything. So this is what tends to happen. So that was a little bit unfortunate.
Victim of its own success.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So somewhere that I haven't really been before, and I can't see where the picture's run way around there, but a couple of times recently I've been into Limestone. This is a brewery which is based in Stone. Nick, me and you used to go in the Limestone Bar in Newcastle-on-the-Lyme quite a bit. This is the brewery. It's actually been a brewery for a long time here. It was initially something called Montgomery's Brewery, then it was Brent's Brewery. It's a tower brewery, which you can see a little bit of it still. The old building's still there. They have a bar in the actual brewery itself, which opens up for events. And then they also have what they call the borehole, which I presume was an old house, but Bruce, you'd love it. It's got two little real fires. So I sat by the fire there yesterday afternoon. And pictures there, you can see. I've got a couple more pictures here. Quite a nice little place where it's quite quiet actually Wednesday afternoon. But it's open 12 till 8 most days. They do some traditional platters of pot pies and oat cakes. Ooh. In fact, yesterday they have a street food. It was a steak place yesterday. And they did steak and chips for £9, which I thought was pretty good value. But
brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, fortunately, I didn't stay around. So
those food, you won't get started for that in York.
Yeah,
good prices then.
Yeah, they are good prices. Beer was good. They had good full range of beer on as well. So somewhere I'll take you, Nick. It's I've not actually been into the ball hall before because I've normally been the brewery. And the brewery is, again, a bit more kind of rough and ready. The bar, last time I was in there was for the rugby. So Brad, who's the brewery owner, he's played rugby with him. He's a bit of a rugby guy. So again, throughout Six Nations, they put the rugby on, and it was great because it was pretty full. Just had a limited range on in the bath, two or three hand pumps, pork pies. So that was great watching that as well. So definitely worth going. And again, Einstein is the beer that but the beer's it's got better a little bit, actually. The beer can be a little bit up and down at times. I don't think it travels very well. And I don't think it keeps longer. You get it fresh, it's really good. And obviously in the brewery and the bar, it's fresh as well. And I popped down to Wetherspoons. So Nick, we've been in here a few times, the Post of Stone, mainly because I had some vouchers in my pocket. They were running their beer festival. Literally, none of the beers in the beer festival leaflet were actually on the bar. However, if you look at that, so yesterday they had Jaipur on, they had Cairngorm Wildcat, they had Daleside Sea Fever, Exmoor Upside, and then the normal Doombar, Abbott, and everything else. Yeah. So I had some vouchers, so I managed to get myself, and I bought two to somebody going back to the bar. So I had a pint of Cairngorm Wildcat at what's that, 5.1%. And a Daleside Sea Fever, which is 4.5%, and that cost me the pricey sum of £3.92 for 2 pints. And they were, and you can see there, they were good nick. Mm. Normally are pretty good nick, actually, in the thing. Don't see Wildcat very often. Sometimes even in Scotland we'd be, you don't get Wildcat. It's not quite what it was, because it used to be Tom and Tool Wildcat, and then they Cairngorm bought them out. But it's a decent beer, kind of a ruby, kind of red Scottish ale type beer. And the Daleside was all right, maybe not quite as much punch as I'd like. But again, if you know, we do got about Wetherspoons, but £2.46 without a voucher for a pint of Cairngorm Wildcat, with the voucher, what's that, £1.94 or something? Yeah. But you know, it's, you can't really go wrong.
£1.96, yeah,
it was pretty good. Stone's getting a good little place now. I need to take Nick into the Wren, which he hasn't been in. Unfortunately, it was shut. It said it was open on the website. But when I went down there, it's by the side of the library. It's a little bar there. It was shut. And then there's also now on the Titanic, they've opened Bod. Bod are their kind of cafe bar. Been there a few times with the family. It's quite nice. That's in the square as well. So you've got loads of really good pubs. But I was getting the buzz back, so I headed down to the Swan, where, again, Nick and I have been in there. And it's I don't think you've ever taken you in the Swan, Bruce. The Swan in Stone is just one of those typical old cracking pubs, the pubs that we used to go into when we were early 20s, 30s. It's real ale, it's floorboards, it's two fires, it's just, you know, great. It was full of kind of people with Birmingham accents yesterday. Obviously, come up on the train and we're doing a bit of a beer tick. And I think they had 11 casks on yesterday, 11 cask hand pumps on yesterday. And all in pretty good thing. Wow. I was a little bit kind of, they obviously had the free Madry as well, because nobody drinks lager in here. I've not seen, very rarely see people drink lager. Mm. Most people drinking the beer, but they've still got all the Madry stuff outside. I suppose it's why not? You get a nice little thing for your beer area, don't you, outside as well? Yeah. But it's a great pub. So I had a pint and two halves. So the Holden's Golden Glow, new one for me. Was really fantastic. And then Green Duck and the Arry Bear, which is from Beartown, from Congleton. So very nice. And then was able to jump on the bus and head back to Mellard's. And my kind of normal haunt, got in there. 360 a pint still, can't really go wrong. They always have three cask beers on and then a range of kegs as well. And again, new one for me. This was Northern Whisper Brewery, which are from Raunstall up in Lancashire. And then, Yammer House. And you see there, it was a very, very nice beer. So, really, really nice. So, anything else to report, guys? Because I've kind of monopolised that bit slightly because I've not been out for a while. So, I'll tell you about it. And again, we were kind of, this is almost, we're not quite last minute, this podcast, but we kind of threw it together.
Anything Did we else? Mention Black Sheep?
Mention Black Sheep. They're about to be sold, aren't they?
Well, they're having, it's a bit, financial rejugglings. You know, I mean, some of the headlines were, Black Sheep Brewery closing, blah, 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 blah. And then you're headed to a bit more and, they're having to look for financing and funding and stuff. I think we've talked about this though, Brooks. You know, I think a middle-sized brewery now, they are obviously struggling. There are so many small microbreweries opening up. And obviously, in terms of duty and just the overheads, you know, it's more economical for a lot of the microbreweries to compete and to put something new out. And then obviously you've got your massive great multinational breweries that will always be there. And I think the middle-sized breweries now are struggling. But we've said, you know, Black Sheep, it was always a good beer. And yet they sort of sat back on the laurels. You know, you never saw a different beer from Black Sheep on the bar, really. And to a certain extent, I know I'm sort of contradicting myself because, you know, I've said before that sometimes I wish, you know, the breweries just concentrated what they do well rather think they've got to come out with a new flavour and a new style every week. But I think the problem was you walked into a bar and you just saw the normal Black Sheep on there or the Golden Ale. And you thought, well, I've tried it dozens of times before. I'll try something different. And I see this. I think they've got a relationship with Ember Inns. And I know recently, in the like sort of last 6 months to a year, they have knocked out a couple of different beers. But I'm just wondering whether they realise this themselves, that they'd lost a place in the marketplace, and it's maybe a little bit too late. But ultimately, the fact that they bought York Brewery, for them to go off and not to survive would be a massive, massive shame, really.
It would really see the end of the York Brewery. Although
I mean, the bottles are a big part of the business, aren't they? I mean, they probably do more bottles than most similar sized breweries. And again, but I guess let's be honest, they're out on a limb. The Massam is not an easy place to get to, and if you're having to ship your beer with the cost of diesel, stuff as it is now, that must have whacked their price up. Because I mean, it takes you a good 35, 40 minutes to get onto the A1, which is not even really a motorway, is it? It's just a dual carriageway. Yeah. And it would probably take you another, and they are a national distributor. You do find their beers everywhere. So you do wonder whether that's part of the challenge as well. So maybe that's one.
We'll see here more about the prices, but I mean, we're having to organise a fundraising concert because my daughter's off to South Korea for the World Scout Jamboree. And even with no staff to pay, it's quite amazing. I've seen my profit get eroded by the costs. And it's quite a salutary experience, really. I mean, we all moan about the price of beer, but even doing something like that, and seeing that my profit's been eroded and I've got no staff to pay or business rates to pay. I mean, it really is a tough game now running a pub.
Yeah,
I mean, we do all moan about things, but likewise, I think every time you go, what the charging now, the beer's got to be spot on, hasn't it?
Yeah.
You're most happy what you're paying.
Yeah.
I think trouble like Nick says, made a good point with Black Sheep. The very nature of cask ale drinkers now is you're going to try something new. So you can have really good beer, nothing wrong with it, but there's always that inclination to try something new, isn't there? Yeah. So that you've got this ever-expanding, never-ending, infinite competition from new beers, and it almost becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, doesn't it? Not changing
beer. Yeah.
Oh, we all got to this weekend.
I'm up to Port Vale, so I'm going to have a couple of beers in the mother town of Burslem, so I'll take a few pictures. For the first time in life, Sky have actually, my Sky VIP has come good. Although I put in for I put in for the Grand National, I put in for the Formula One, and then I got Port Vale versus Bristol City. But anyway, we'll take it. Uh-huh. So I think next time we meet up, we need to talk about Malton. So I think we kind of planned back in the whenever it was end of summer that we'll probably do a couple of episodes. One maybe looking back at Malton. What we can remember, we were kind of in our beer infancy, and then we'll talk a little bit about what if you get there, what you'd find now. So those are going to be the next couple of episodes, which hopefully will be in a couple of weeks' time or so. Again, we've not really got a schedule yet, but I'm sure we'll work one out. So we hope that it's been good to get back, boys. It's been good to chat about beer again.
Well, I'm going to Saturday. I'm going to Home Firth, which I've never been to.
All right, that'll be
I suppose I've a couple of good pubs and a really good fish and chip shop. And then on the way back, to Home Firth's extension of the trip, we'll go into the Crate Escape, apparently Britain's cheapest off license in Huddersfield. He does a couple of daily videos every day on Facebook.
Right.
Astonishing deals on cask and craft beer. I mean, it's miles to be anywhere else. So we're going to come up with a carload of booze from the Crater Escape.
Right, very good. So that'll be another one to tell us about as well then. Yeah. Sounds good. So hopefully you've enjoyed that. I said we'll be back. We'll get a bit more polished. I'll try and find where the music's gone because I'm supposed to play that. Can you hear music this time? No.
No. No.
Okay. We'll see.
We can sing it.
We can sing it. Good stuff. Right. Well, cheers for now. And we will see you in our next episode. So I'm going to stop the.
Bye.
Goodbye. Stop recording.